Welcome to the Terrordome, baby. We swarm. Welcome to the Terrordome. We swarm. Let them know. We swarm, baby. We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week and another episode of Tales from the Terrordome. If I sound dejected, it's because I had the double whammy this weekend with the Hokies and then the block field goal in Kansas City for my Broncos. But that's not why we're here. Story time. You know, years, hundreds and thousands of years ago, there were these people on Earth called cavemen, and they existed with dinosaurs. And I would like to think that they thought for a second that they had figured out how they were going to slay these beasts. And right when they thought they figured it out, they looked to the sky and the asteroid hit the Earth and destroyed all their hopes and dreams. Well, that first half in Lane Stadium, it felt like we had figured out how we were going to stop Dabo. And then we looked to the sky and Howard's Rock came crashing down and destroyed all of our hopes and dreams of beating the Clemson Tigers that we have not beaten since like 2000. I don't remember. That's how long it's been. I don't remember. I think it was like 2008. I don't know. But yeah, man, just absolutely. I really got nothing. Like it's just absolutely baffling that we're sitting here 5-5 right now. But to talk about it, my guy Pete B from Too Deep is in the building. How you doing, my man?
What's up, dude? I'm sorry. I was kind of snickering while you're getting through that intro. There's some funny parts in there, but not too much funny about that loss on Saturday, dude. That was rough. I think the last time I came on here, we were talking about the Miami game.
Yeah.
You only bring me on after the tough ones. Come on now.
Yeah, well, a lot less fireworks from this one than the Miami game. But yeah, man. It started out like last second, like Friday night. I had to audible and I couldn't go. And I was having bad case of FOMO, dude. Like I felt it like in my heart. I was like, man, I'm going to hate missing this one.
Yeah, I was the same way because my buddy has a kid that goes to Virginia Tech now, and he was down. And they don't get down too much, so I was jealous I wasn't there. I also had to audible a couple weeks back. I flipped to go to GT rather than Clemson. I wanted to be at Clemson, but hey, at least I got to see a win a couple weeks ago, so I'm happy about it.
No, absolutely. It was just kind of like, I mean, weather looked good in Blacksburg. From all the reports I got, tailgates were great, as always. But, yeah, man, 3:30 kick. They looked – the defense in the first half – looked really good. Like I thought, like Klubnik, I don't think is all that great, but to act like Clemson doesn't have talent everywhere would be foolish to say. And Dabo, for as like dorky as he is and as much like crap as we give him, is a really good football coach. And it was crazy because it was like in the first half, like we couldn't get any offense going, but our defense was amazing. And then in the second half, it was like nothing was good at all. But like I knew, like we blocked that punt or the field goal. We blocked the field goal, ran it back for a touchdown. True freshman Quentin Reddish running it back to the house with Frank Beamer in the building. That was awesome. The crowd was really into it. They were really loud. But it just was like you knew, like, hey, we're not scoring points right now when we should be padding some points right now. And it's going to come back to wreck us.
It was the fifth straight game that we hadn't allowed a first half touchdown. And that, I got that from Andy Bitter. But the second halves have been really rough defensively. And it's something we've been seeing all season, whether it's on offense or defense. And it is the inability to adjust. And so you'll see on the opposite end from other coaching staffs were like, oh, we're not doing so well in the first half. Let's adjust. And they start scoring points and we don't, do the counter move. And so that's frustrating that we can play really well for portions of games. And it's been true all year, whether it's Vanderbilt, part of Miami, Rutgers, whatever, like we choose sections of games to play well on one side or the other side of the ball. And then it all goes to crap in the second half of the game or the third quarter or whenever.
Yeah, that third quarter stat that Bitter shared was flooring. Like, it's completely unacceptable to have that kind of point differential in the third quarter when you just came off of having 15 minutes to like calmly figure it out in the locker room.
Yeah, especially when you're playing with the lead. And there was a
Yeah.
couple things that happened where we could have had a bigger lead. Do you remember at the end of the first half? And we'll talk about how bad the offense was in general, but we had some good field position. I think we were first and 10 on the 28, and we run that trick play. And
Yep.
I know we've had some good trick plays this year, I do, but that was really poor execution, maybe bad design, and it cost us 3 points because it backed us up. Then we kick a 55-yarder or whatever it was, and we don't make it. And if you have a 10-0 lead, maybe the rest of the game plays out a little bit differently. There's just a lot of little things, execution errors, and just overall strategic errors offensively in the game.
No, yeah, 1,000%. That trick play. I mean, the defensive lineman made a hell of an adjustment on that. I don't
He
think
made a great individual play, for sure.
but when it just looked bad from the start, like when Aiden Green went to throw it back, I yelled. I was like, no. And then Kyron was lucky to corral it and then take a loss. But dude, it was like I don't know, man. Like I respect the balls that it takes to do something like that. And to beat Clemson, you're gonna have to do some things. But like, yeah, man, that it was a drive killer. Like kind of like when we were driving against Georgia Tech. Was it Georgia? Yeah. And no. It might have been whenever they gave Schley like that reverse.
Oh,
And it was like a 4 yard loss and it just completely stalled the drive.
yeah, there's been some of that. And in this game, you mentioned the third quarter. Well, Clemson scored on the first two drives of the third quarter. Then we had the interception a little bit later. They took that and scored another 7 points. And that was the game right there. Was just we come out of halftime and they had answers for our defensive alignment and strategy, and we had no response. And I realized they didn't score a million points, but we knew points were at a premium in this game, and we needed to do better than allowing touchdowns on 3 out of 4 drives to start the third quarter.
Yeah. Mafah is good. And I felt
Yeah.
like we held him in check
You
for the
know, he had
most part.
128, but I kind of agree with you. I thought like
Yeah.
our run defense was okay enough because that's what I was worried about, that matchup
Yeah.
of their running game and Phil Mafah going up against our poor rush defense. And they didn't give him 170. You know, it could have been worse. But you know, really Klubnik made the plays in this game. And that
Yeah.
was it was that missed sack, which was an absolute killer, where he rolls out and hits Dude Man for a touchdown. And that was a backbreaker. And he really made some plays. He's been good all year. Much to my chagrin, because I thought he would struggle this year and kind of hold Clemson back. That's not really why Clemson's been not as great. It hasn't been because of Cade Klubnik. I think their O-line has struggled a little bit. It's been okay, but they've had injuries. Their defense has not been the defense it has been, which is why the results that we got were all the more frustrating, because this is not an elite defense. They've been barely top 40 in a number of categories this year.
Yeah, I mean, what back like Mafah, most of his yards were like third, fourth. Like when we should have been putting up points, we were checking him. And Cade wasn't, yeah, he started cooking in the second half, but like it's just you think like that first half we should have had multi-score lead.
We should have gone into halftime with a little bit bigger lead. Now, that being said, we still lost by 10, and the last touchdown was kind of a garbage time touchdown. So
Right. It
they
was our
beat us
only
down.
offensive touchdown.
Yeah, they beat us down pretty good in the second half. And so even if we had had a bigger lead, if you can't adjust, we probably still lose the game, a la Syracuse. The execution, like 2 of 14 on third down, 2 of 14 on
That's
third down for
crazy.
our offense. And they were executing their third downs at a pretty decent clip, especially even in the first half when they didn't come away with points. Like they were getting some decent drives and didn't capitalize. But it's a shame to waste that decent of a defensive performance, because if the offense had played a little bit better, maybe the defense would have been able to hold up longer. And that's similar to Syracuse as well.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we've been bend or not break all year. And eventually, you can only bend so much.
I
And
know.
if the offense isn't sustaining drives and coming away with points, like you're just going to end up getting destroyed or just beaten, as we've seen.
Can we talk about the lack of the run game in this game for Virginia Tech? Like, we've been a good running team since we decided to focus on it. You know, after the first couple games, we really kind of turned to the run game. Obviously, exclamation point on the BC game. But Tootin got banged up against GT. He didn't play against Syracuse, but Coney had a great game against Syracuse. Malachi had a pretty solid game against Syracuse, proving that our offensive line can block for just about anybody. If the guys are, the running backs are ready to go, they can block. Well, in this game, Tootin's out there. He gets four carries. He didn't look right. And four carries and 0 yards for Tootin is pretty good evidence that he wasn't right. And so
Yeah, he wasn't right.
if he's that not right, why didn't we see Jeremiah Coney? We had 0 yards from running backs in this game, Dan. 0 yards.
Yeah, Schley was our leading rusher, and he didn't come in until like 10 minutes left in the fourth, or whatever it was.
I know Malachi was hurt. For the listeners that don't understand why we didn't see Malachi, he was a scratch. And so he wasn't available for the game. But I don't know why Coney didn't get a carry.
Yeah, I don't know if Tootin was ever supposed to really play. And then when they scratched Malachi, this is all like
You're going big
speculation.
brain?
This is all speculation. I don't know. Like, so don't be like, oh man, Dan's out here telling the stuff. But no, I don't think so. When Malachi went out, I think it changed the game plan, because I'm pretty sure Coney got banged up versus Syracuse too.
Okay.
And then it was kind of like, we don't really have anyone. And Tootin is obviously was not effective, because we even saw Tootin with a leg brace, like whooping people's, like running all up down the field. So, and then obviously Drones, he couldn't run either. And they ran him 11 times. And I was like,
Yeah.
man, what are we doing? Like, he should not be running that much. If he's limited to begin with, like, he should not be taking a pounding like that.
I don't know. It's frustrating because, yeah, maybe Coney is banged up. Not that we have any information on that, but like maybe he is. That would at
Yeah.
least be a reason why he didn't get a carry, because that seems inexcusable to me. But if Coney can't go, Malachi can't go, Tootin is just a shell of what he normally is, and it's clearly hurt. Where's the freshman? Like, where, like, we have, there are other running backs. I'm not saying they're great options. I'm just saying, like, if you cannot run at all, let's put a healthy kid in there. And I understand that's hard to do. You're playing Clemson. You don't want to put a true freshman out there, but like, you got to do something else. Like, this strategy was a sheer failure. And if your best strategy is to run out an injured quarterback, like, why didn't we see Schley? Maybe Schley's banged up too. I don't know. But like,
Yeah.
where's Pop Watson? I
Right.
just feel like this was inexcusable. Like, what we did on offense, injuries or not, there's more guys. There's an 85-man roster. Find someone who can get us a yard as a running
Right.
back.
And I understand gamesmanship. It's important. And Pry's good at it. But, like, there should be more clarity on the injury situation, because he probably wouldn't be getting murdered by everyone right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there would have been a little more understanding, instead of people watching like, hey, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But I would have still, like, one of the, like, I would have ran Jay Lane out of the backfield or something.
And they did, and he got negative 1 yard. But that's
Yeah.
like, I'm just, there are, exactly, Dan. You,
Right.
there, guys can run with the football. You can put the ball in other people's hands. And we've had some bad luck. I mean, PJ went out a couple weeks ago. Tootin got hurt a couple weeks ago. Malachi apparently got hurt in the one decent game that he played. And maybe Coney too. But we don't, we, that is, that's pure speculation on Coney. For all we know, he's fully healthy and they just decided not to run him. And
Right.
if you tell us, well, Kyron and Tootin are hurt, maybe I just, if you're gonna put them out there, you can't use the they're hurt like defense. I'm sorry. Like they're playing in the game and taking away touches from someone who may be healthier. So I really like, oh, but they're hurt, so it's okay that we got like 200 yards of offense, one of the worst offensive outputs in the last 10 years. Like literally, according to success rate, it's the fourth worst game of the last decade of Hokies football, like offensively. So it was just as bad as you thought it might have looked watching the game.
Yeah. And also, I'll say this, and I'll probably get some shit for it, but for all the people on Twitter who were one like complaining or wondering like, why are we playing these injured players? Why are we playing them hurt? Why are we risking their health? I don't know if you've ever played sports, and I don't mean that in a condescending way, but because it's not like legitimately, I don't know if you have, but I don't know how you would walk up to a guy that you're not only, especially when scholarships and NIL or whatever are involved, there's money involved at some level. You walk up to him and in the biggest game of the year at home, in a game that you, for all, like, you mu like,
It
people
was a
don't
big
expect you
game.
to win, but yeah, it was a massive game for us.
They needed
And
the
tell
staff
them
needed a
that
win.
not to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't. Like, if they feel like they can go and they practiced all week, like you're not walking up to them
They're
and telling them they're
competitors. They
sitting. Yeah,
want to play. They want to play.
exactly.
It's not us putting them in a bad position. If Tootin didn't want to play, he wouldn't have played. But
Right.
he gutted it out, and I appreciate that from him, but the player, for the most part, is always going to want to play. It's your
Facts.
job to figure out whether that's going to be beneficial to your team, if it's going to give you the best chance to win. And I don't think playing Tootin gave you the best chance to win. Like we got pretty much killed, so I think I'm probably right on that. Now, you could argue Coney's no good in pass protection, or the freshman wouldn't have been good in pass protection, so we have Tootin in there for that. Does his bad leg help him pass protect? Like I don't like. I don't know, man. It was just whatever they decided to do was the wrong thing to do because they couldn't do jack shit. And I credit we gave Marv a lot of crap last week for the way Syracuse ended. I credit him for at least trying to hang tough here for as long as he could because the offense didn't help them out at all.
Oh no, I feel like Marv definitely did enough to ensure that we got a lead. We should have scored more points. Would have been easier on him. But his players are dog ass tired about the fourth quarter typically. But it's just kind of like,
Right, which calls into question a different thing.
yeah, no, yeah, strength and conditioning. I get that. It's just, yeah, man, I don't know. It's just tough.
I
It's a
will
tough
say
situation.
to defend the coaches slightly, the wide receivers dropping six balls is just absolutely ridiculous. Like I'm not going to put
Yeah.
that on Fontel Mines. Like
Think
that
it was
was
actually like eight.
it was the most putrid
Yeah.
wide receiver performance we've seen all year, and by a lot. I mean, we've had some drops this year for sure. And I'm not saying every ball that Kyren throws is perfect, but you can't drop six to eight balls in a football game and expect to have
Yeah.
any kind of good result. And so that's not all on Tyler Bone that they dropped all those balls.
Right. And then, like, Steven Gosnell, your most reliable, getting hurt and then having to come back, like, to the point where he had to come back out in a hoodie, like, is not ideal. So it was just kind of like, we're dropping balls. Freak. And I mean, we were basically. We went full Madden and ran the same play back to back with Felton, which was not smart because then the DB just had made a hell of a play on the ball in the second one. But yeah, man, just all around shit show, dude, on
It just
Saturday.
didn't seem whatever the strategy was, just I don't know exactly what it was. It clearly wasn't to run the football because they barely did that at all. And you mentioned the thing like we ran drones and we ran Schley, but a lot of that was scrambling. And so I guess the strategy was to like get the ball out quick and try to use the short passing game as the run game. But even that, there wasn't so much of that. So I don't know. Like it didn't seem like there was a plan. Like
We
I don't
don't run short, like quick routes. We don't.
Not a lot,
So if you're going
no.
to supplement the run game, you're going to need quick drags, hitches, slant routes, revolutionary. I know, but like we don't do it. I don't know why we don't run this. Like we don't run slants. Like I hate to do it, but like, dude, when the Broncos, like Sean Payton will use the hell out of the short passing game when he knows the running game ain't working. Like it does help, but like especially with a line like that, like that defensive line that Clemson has, and our offensive line isn't awesome, but they're quick enough to hold up in a slant, quick
I
drag,
mean, look what
something.
Syracuse did to us last week. It was endless with the quick passes and the quick slants. And
Yeah.
when you got a quarterback with, a wonky knee and a running back that also has a leg issue, why are you not just like out of shotgun firing that ball out? Out of shotgun firing that ball out. Like, and I know it's not what we do, but like you got to make it what you do for this game if you know it's going to end up badly. Like
Right.
you had to come out with a different plan, and they just didn't have a plan. And it's really frustrating. Like the 40 yards rushing is extremely embarrassing already, and most of it was like an accident. And so I just cannot believe we had 0 yards from running backs. Like it's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
And this Clemson team, I said their defense hasn't been elite. Well, mi they were missing two of their starters on the D line. No Capehart, no Woods. Their linebacking core is all banged up, and it was worse than I ever could have imagined. Like this was an opportunity, and I know, like a healthy Tootin probably runs all over this team. That's what's really annoying about this.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think so. I know I sound really mad. I'm not. I did not expect to beat them. But I didn't think, like, I thought we would run our game plan and we would give them some issues. And then I thought we would end up losing. I did not think, like, the defense would show up and then our offense would just be the worst it's ever been, ever in
Yeah,
this regime.
and analyzing it, as we've already done for a little while here, analyzing it is tricky when you've got potential injuries involved. It is tricky, and I do recognize that. And so I'm not trying to like completely flame the staff and the players for this game because there were things at play. But you know what? Clemson had a lot of injuries too. And so I don't have that much sympathy either. Like you got to figure out a way to be a little bit more competitive in what might have been was not just a big game for Pry and the staff. It was a huge game for Whit Babcock. Because how many times do we have these big games and it ends up like this? And eventually, it's not just the coach's fault. It's the complete football infrastructure, athletic department infrastructure's fault. And it's getting pretty obnoxious. And the fact, if we want to just take a 10,000 foot view here, Dan, 5-5 with all the promise and all the excitement and all the hype, all the guys coming back, it's hard to stomach, dude.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I feel like I was always on that 9-3, 8-4 fence, but like, dude, like when you
And
think about the games that we should have
it could so easily
won.
be 8-4, 9-3. Like even with the Clemson result, even if you were to like say,
Yeah.
okay, that's a loss. All of the other games could have gone the other way.
Yeah, Syracuse. We had Miami on the ropes. We should have beat Rutgers. Vanderbilt, way better than anybody thought. Still should have won that game.
Had a lead at the end of the game.
Yeah, so like, not to mention Virginia Tech, for whatever reason, has the ninth toughest schedule in college football this season. So if we would have won 8 to 9 games with that schedule, I think we would have been a very large outlier
I
for
mean,
the
yeah, and that ninth in strength of
playoff.
schedule is from the Kali Matrix. If you go to FPI, it's like 38. I think
Oh,
SP Plus has a set like 36. But like,
ruin the narrative,
I'm
dude.
sorry. Yeah, because
I'm
I
joking.
love the Kali Matrix. It used to be in the BCS. It's a good ranking system. It's totally unbiased in terms of preseason, and it's not even about how you win the games. It's just did you win? Who did you beat? Who did you lose to? And their records. But the truth is somewhere in between. We've probably played a 30th ranked schedule, a 25th ranked schedule. Once when we came into the year, we thought we were going to have one of the easiest power schedules of any team. And that it did not turn out that way. And we still should be, we should probably have 6 wins right now. That's what I, if we're 5-5,
At minimum.
at minimum, we should probably have 6 wins. It's probably, yeah, because I forgot it. We're up to 10 games. We should probably have 7 wins. Even if you want to split the ones that we didn't win down the middle, right? Like we should probably have 7 wins.
Yeah, even if for some reason, and I don't know if we will, we beat Duke. I still think we're beat. I don't ever count UVA as a loss.
Yeah, but they got a big win this weekend.
Yeah, they did, but Pitt's offense is
Pitt's
not that
not a
great.
great team. We know that.
But they're like, if you finish 7-5, you go to a bowl game, maybe you win it. 8-5, it's still improvement, but at the same, it doesn't feel as good. I don't
It
think.
won't.
Like,
It
this would be
won't.
best case
No one
scenario
will
at this
feel
point,
good. Yeah.
but at the same time, like, I'm still like at the point where I don't know what the change is in the offseason, but there needs to be
If
one
we
or a
don't
couple.
get to 7 wins, even with the bowl game, so we've and that means we're going to a bowl game, but say we play 13 games and we end up 7-6 again, like that's a major disappointment because not like we expected the minimum to be 8 wins if you include a bowl game, right? Like we didn't expect to go 6-6 during the regular season, which was essentially what that would mean, unless we can win the last two. And so I just, there needs to be, in order to keep the hope alive for Brent Pry and his time at Tech, you can't put up what you did this year, even if we were to win the last two, and not make a single change on the staff. Like you, there needs to make people want to buy season tickets again. You got to do something different.
Yeah, I feel like all the hype and hoopla and preseason, rankings and, oh man, we're going to use Virginia Tech and CFB 25, like, or 26 at this point. It's gone. Like, it's not going to be there. So it'll be interesting to see, I guess, looking forward. I mean, maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's good. Maybe it's good for us to not have that. But, like, it was fun. It really was.
I
It
mean,
was
the
fun to be
offseason was
talked
really
about again,
fun.
right?
Yeah, it was.
Especially for like what we do. It was fun.
It was fun and it helps engagement and getting clicks and all that kind of good stuff. But like at the end of the day, you know, me or you don't care so much about the clicks as we do winning some goddamn games and
Yeah.
having Virginia Tech be an ACC contender again, be in the mix again for winning some of these games in Lane Stadium. Like people come to Lane Stadium and it's the entrance and it's over, you know, like it's. And we had some nice moments this year. I'm not, and there's still some to go. We'll finally get to play UVA at home in front of some
Yeah.
fans for the first time in a while. And gosh, is that going to be, if we lose to Duke, the anxiety bowl that's going to be the UVA game for Pry and the staff. Like, because that neither you nor I think Pry would be fired this year. That we've
No.
been saying that all season. But. He's going to make a lot of people think twice if he goes 5-7.
Yeah, 5-7 is not a
Like
conversation
that
that
would
we want to
be
have.
really to fight because that means you lose to UVA and you don't go to a bowl. Like that is a nightmare scenario for Witt, Brent Pry, us, everybody. And so we better beat UVA.
If
We
you
really
lose
better.
one of the two last games, it can't be like you can't beat Duke to win your sixth game and then lose to UVA at home. Like,
No, you
not
really
even
can't.
like so. You either have to lose to Duke and then beat UVA or win both. Like, there's no, you
Yeah,
see what I'm
because
saying?
and it could very well be that us and UVA will both have 5 wins going into that game. So it's a bowl game, could potentially be a bowl game on the line for both teams.
Yeah, or we could beat Duke and then cost UVA bowl eligibility. That would
That
be
would be
tight.
nice. That would be really nice.
But it, oh man, it just, I.
It's hard to see where do we go from here, right? Because
Yeah.
Pat was pretty dejected after the Syracuse loss, Pat Finn, and he's like, "What? Like this season's already over. Like what do we?" And I'm like, "Well, no, because if we somehow we beat Clemson and we win the last two, 8-4, that's a pretty nice step up from 6-6. Well, that ship has sailed. So the only step up from 6-6 we can get is if we win the last two. And if we do that, I'm not going to be a happy camper, but I'll be all right. You know, like I'll be okay as long as
I'll be
they
relieved.
make
I won't
some
be happy.
changes in the offseason. I still think they got to make changes.
Yeah. Do you, not to like dive too deep into it, but like, I don't know. I don't want to fire people. Hypothetically. I don't.
We just need a philosophy
I'm not going
change.
to.
Whether you want to keep people and rearrange this, I don't know what you want to do. Cause I don't like the idea of necessarily calling for people's jobs either.
Right.
But whatever the mentality is on game day, to be fired up for a game, play a complete game, not melt down when you have a lead, that mentality needs to change. And I don't, it can start in the weight room. It can start in pregame warmups. I don't know. I'm not a football coach. I don't know how certain coaches do it to get that mindset different, but the best ones figure out a way. And what we saw against Clemson was the biggest mismatch in coaching expertise that we've seen so far this year.
Yeah. And like, honestly, shout out Dabo for when that player taunted, Dabo was in his face immediately. Like, he literally taunted Dorian, like, turned around on the sideline, and Dabo was in his face, like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, I was like, okay, that's cool. But like, listen, man, I don't think it's a pregame philosophy change that's needed. Our fuck ups happen somewhere within the game, normally in the last 2 minutes of the first half and the third quarter. So that's what needs to be figured out. I don't know like why we, and it seems to be like the same scenario every week.
It's
like the same stuff.
It's some version of choking. Like it's some version of that. It's the pissing down your leg, I don't know what to do in this situation type shit. And it's the youth of some of our coaches, the inexperience of some of our coaches has been a topic most of the weeks this year. And do we need some adults in the room that have more experience, that have head coaching experience, whatever it is, coordinators at a high level, not two first-time coordinators, you know, like that. Now, they're not really first-time coordinators because they've been doing it for 3 years now.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, we're in year three, and it's kind of like, for me at least, like, I love them.
And they have good weeks. Like, they have some good weeks, like, but they trade them off, you know? We can't get them both to have good weeks on the same week.
Right. And then for me, it's like, you know, like I said, like, I love them. Like, I think they're great people. But, like, at the same time, it's very hard for me to come on here every week and do this shit. Like, I get real, like, you know, like, and for you and for Billy and Pat and everybody else, you know, the Hokie Hangover guys and Boundary Corner, like we have good relationships in Blacksburg, but we can't like sit here and act like it's okay, you know, like, cause it's not. And like, it really sucks to like come on a platform that we built and like just let it rip, you know, but we have to, like, it's not fun. Like, we don't enjoy shitting on anything.
I'd rather
anything,
much
you
rather
know
be
I'm
talking
saying?
About a big win or at least a decent offensive performance. And I don't, you wish sometimes, let me ask it to you this way. Do you think the press media availability for Brent Pry, do you think they're a little soft on him? Do you think they ask him the tough questions?
I don't feel like.
Like, where was the question? Like, why didn't Jeremiah Coney get some reps? Like, maybe it happened and I missed it. I'm just trying to like turn the screws on some of like this stuff that we talk about all the time.
Well, if you think, I guess on that aspect, like if you hear the questions in the press conferences and then you see like the headlines and the way the articles are written, it does feel like the energy is not matched in person as it is on the keyboard. Like, I feel like
that's
you,
for
you
sure.
See what I'm saying? But like, yeah, I think like people should maybe ask those questions. I don't know if they feel like it gained, like if there's anything to gain from, like if they would get the answer, you know what I'm saying? Cause I don't know like what kind of answer they would get, or like, I'm not in those rooms. I don't know. I think maybe.
And I thought
ask,
at times they gave, when Fu was the coach, there were some questions that got under his skin. I didn't necessarily think they were super difficult questions.
Well, he was just bad at, like, he just didn't like to talk.
I know. I know.
Yeah, I think that
But
had something
with
to do with it.
Pry, I'm not sure. Like, there was the one question earlier this year where, again, after Rutgers, someone asked him, like, why was the offense inept? And, like, used that terminology. And he scoffed at it, like, what, inept, like, or something like that. And he didn't like it. And inept might have even been strong, but, like, they weren't playing well. And that was the point. And that's the kind of questioning, like, what was the game plan going in, coach? Like, why was there a reason why he didn't run the ball very much with the running backs? That's, like, I don't know. There's been a sense that maybe because he is so personable and so good at public speaking, they don't give him a harder time.
Yeah. I also think, like, I don't feel like, and I'm not defending it, but I don't feel like he, like, I've had conversations with them and they know, like after 2022, I was like, I said something to him one night. I was like, hey, like, I'm glad you're here. And he was like, we won three games last year. Like, what do you mean? And I was like, I respect it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
they know, like, they're not happy. Like, they're not going home like, oh man, I can't wait to watch Polar Express tonight. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
But
And
yeah,
in the
tougher
press
questions should be
conferences,
asked.
I don't really like some people had a big problem with the press conference after Syracuse because of whatever he admitted about not having all the information with the end of the half thing. I generally think like he owns a lot of the stuff in the press conferences. Like he says the right thing 99% of the time and says like we need to be better. I'm evaluating it. It's on me. Like he does that. So I don't just sometimes I wish there was some more pointed questioning and we
Yeah,
would have
I
some more
agree.
clarity on some of this stuff.
Yeah, I also think like people on the internet like want these coaches to like go crazy in a press conference, but I feel like the majority of the fan base, if he were to react like Brian Kelly or sometimes even Shane Beamer after a loss, like they would hate it. Like there would be like people would call him immature. I think there would be a whole different narrative. Like people would be like, oh, he's immature. He doesn't know how to handle himself. I think it would add a whole another subset of problems besides just the end game handling. So I
I
always feel
think
like
you're
you're going
right.
to get an honest answer, but it's going to be a PR, like a honest, but like also like worded in a way that is not, you know, like,
I could use a little bit more fire. I
yeah.
just a, and but here's the thing, because he is pretty calm, cool, and collected, even after the Miami game, which was, you get your heart ripped out. He
Yeah.
was a little bit testy, but he still held it in. I think because he's like that most of the time, if he did a Brian Kelly like slam his fist on the table after Clemson or after Syracuse, it might go a long way because it's he's not doing it constantly. It would be like, oh shit, coach is really mad. Like that, like you never see him like that. Like, I think it could be used as a motivation tactic at some point. And I would like to see a little bit more fire after some of these, like, what have been gut-wrenching losses this year.
Yeah, I think I don't need to see it as much. Like, if he's ripping the players, like if he's ripping if he's ripping asses in the coaches' meetings and in the locker room, then like,
You're good.
cool. Yeah, I don't necessarily need him to yell at Andy Bitter or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I
No,
don't
it
like I
wouldn't be
what?
yelling
Yeah,
at them. It would just be
right.
like,
Or yelling about, yeah.
yeah, just like yelling about like the circumstances. I don't know. But I definitely
I
there
did
would be
like.
fans that say there would be fans that say like our coach is, immature and he's not fit to be a coach. 'Cause did you see what the Utah AD just did after their game?
I liked it.
I don't know
We
if I
should have.
liked it.
I would. No, I feel like if Witt would have done that after Miami, like,
Well, we would have liked it if Witt had done it after Miami.
yeah, that's what I mean.
I do think you're right. The problem with Utah's situation was that they didn't score in the second half. And
Yeah.
so you're really going to bitch and complain when you literally only scored points in one quarter in the entire game. So I just thought it was unprofessional. But if Witt had reamed the ACC after the Miami game, it would have been warranted and we all would have loved it.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Sands would have had to pay like 40 grand, but it would have been like, I don't know, we might have thrown with a parade or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It
Not
would have
really, but
endeared him
like,
to a few more people for sure.
yeah, athletic directors, I don't know if they're ever endeared to anyone,
Yeah.
to be honest. But I mean, you could like him, like the dude from Tennessee, people seem to like. But the second that Tennessee, like Heupel's not doing is like not getting the results that he's been getting, then it dips. Like people are fans are fickle. We
They
are.
are.
We're fickle people. We have
Yep.
expectations, and then we fantasy book expectations based on social media
It can flip very
sometimes.
quickly because you look at Witt's tenure at Tech. No, didn't hit on Fuente. Took a little too long to figure that out. Up until this offseason, thought maybe Pry was decent. Kenny Brooks went to a Final Four. Mike Young won an ACC title. Unfathomable to think Virginia Tech men could win an ACC title. And he hired Buzz Williams, who damn near got us to the Elite Eight or whatever, beating that Duke game. So there are some good stuff. Like our baseball teams and softball teams both hosted super regionals. Like that never happened before. So, but now
Wrestling goes to high in
wrestling's
nationals.
really freaking good. The soccer team for the women has been pretty good. They made a Final Four at one point. But when you don't get football right,
Yeah, that's all
and
that matters.
you keep and basketball's been hitting their head against the ceiling, or not even the ceiling. They're struggling. You lose Kenny Brooks and what some people would want to blame you for. Like it's starting to snowball down the hill, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to stop it.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, we didn't get into the ACC for our basketball prowess. It was all football. Football is the reason we're in the ACC. It's the driving force of everything now, and like the SEC and Big Ten don't even try to hide it. It's a football. It's football. Football
And he
drives
and him and the
athletics.
rest of the ACC administrators were asleep at the wheel when all of this expansion and who's going to get who. Like, why didn't we go after USC and UCLA? Why didn't we go after Oregon years ago? I mean, it was all reactionary. Oh, we'll take SMU, Stanford, and Cal. Cool. The ones that no one else wanted. Cool. That's great. Like, there's no forethought. There's nothing of that matter. And Witt is grouped in with that crew, and they want their Olympic sports to be great, but like we don't care about that. We really don't. Like, by and large, some people do. I enjoy a
Well, they're
lot of the
most of
other
them are
sports.
non-rev sports, so they're not
Right.
making like, and we love that
I
part,
want
but football
football to
makes the
have
money.
more than two top 25 seasons in 13 seasons. Like that's outrageous. And they were the first two Fuente years before it all came apart. We should be better than a top 25 team every 7 years, every 6 years. Like, that's ridiculous. And when it keeps happening, and you can look right up the road at a team like JMU who can just fire through coaches and keep hiring winners and winners and winners, like, what are you doing wrong? Because their infrastructure is really good and ours isn't.
Yeah, also, if football's good, it's going to make a lot of money for the other sports too.
Yeah. I mean, look, what are Witt's last three football hires? It's Brent Pry, it's Justin Fuente, and
And
it's
Tommy
Tommy
Tuberville.
Tuberville.
Oh God.
Ooh, that's not so good.
No, not at all. The Tommy one was a head scratcher to begin with, but
It was.
I never was on the food train as far as like hiring him. I was like, I don't know if I want a Memphis coach, but he was, I mean, he was a top
People
pick for a
thought
lot of
highly
places.
of
Yeah,
him, yes.
right.
And perhaps if Witt had been given him more financial backing, like he's given Coach Pry, maybe things would have been better. You know, maybe we wouldn't have lost our director of recruiting to Florida and then had the whole thing fall apart. Like there's so many what ifs, but it all comes back to something ain't right in the infrastructure.
Yeah. Nah, I feel like if Fu would have stayed in the region, recruiting wise, it probably wouldn't have fell apart like
Yeah,
it did. But
I didn't want
a lot of
him.
mistakes.
I don't think he was ever right for Tech, but that's fine. At first,
Yeah.
it felt good to pair him with Bud, and that just didn't work out.
Nope.
But now we're way on a tangent now.
That's what happens. Yeah, dude, it's just I want it so badly to get figured out. I guess we're in wait and see, because it's kind of like we got two games left.
How
Hope
do
to
you
win
know
them.
what the first game is for next year? Do we talk about it
Yeah,
yet?
South Carolina.
Shane
Yeah,
O'Mac, he's having a nice season
in Atlanta. Yeah,
in Atlanta. Like, that's going to be a tough one.
I would sell my soul to beat them. And I think, and like, I do not
Oh
like
man.
it has nothing to do with Shane Beamer. I just don't like I almost went to South Carolina. I didn't, but like, I don't, that was years ago, but like, I just, for some reason, I don't like him. I don't think it has anything to do with Shane. I think the only issue I have with Shane is the fact that he comes into Virginia and takes good recruits to South
Yeah,
Carolina,
I
but I'm
mean,
not going to blame him for that.
no.
That's just part of a football coach. But like, if Shane, like I mean, Shane was a Hokie. I love him as that for that. I don't think he cares as much about it as we do. But
I think it's going to be a huge storyline going into
it,
that
no, it's
game.
you can't avoid that
No.
storyline.
And so and we're going to, like, I mean, is there any reason to think we're not going to be the underdogs? Like
No,
it's
we're gonna be like 9.5 point underdogs,
Yeah,
probably.
so what if you want to have hope and excitement and make your fans believe we can pull off a win against Shane Beamer in Atlanta, you got to do something inside the building that is going to
Yeah.
make us believe.
Yeah, well, we're not gonna know what the roster looks like or the staff looks like
No,
come that
because
game.
with how everything works, like any single player we think will be back might not be. Like, because we may have a different quarterback. We may have a whole different room of wide receivers, which we probably will, because a lot of them are graduating. But it's so much is going to change, and you need to figure out a way to like get a rudder behind this program and start going on that trajectory we thought we had at the end of last season.
Yeah, and I had a blast in Annapolis. Those crab cakes I had were amazing, but I'm not trying to go back to Annapolis to eat crab cakes because we're back in the Military Bowl.
Oh man. Yeah, I want to go to a bowl. I want to be bowl eligible because I want to win
Yeah, I
more
don't want to
games.
not. Yeah,
Yeah,
hell yeah.
I want to win more games. I don't want to lose out, so we have to change everything like I feel like some people are thinking about. I want to go to a bowl. I want to win that bowl, and I want to like that when we beat Liberty, even though it was only our third win of the year, it was the last game of the season,
I was
and it
there. It
makes
was
you
great.
feel a lot better, right?
Yeah.
Going into year two. We beat UVA, we crush them. We beat Tulane, even though they weren't the same team. We've all felt really good. Get some wins down the stretch and give us a nice little good feeling for the off season, like something to hang our hats on, because right now it's pretty bleak, man.
Yeah, and pardon my language, but if you're one of the people out there that are praying to lose out to make some changes, you're a fucking loser. Like, we're it doesn't like this isn't the NBA
No,
or the
that's
NFL. You
we
can't
can't do that. No.
no we can't tank and get Joel Embiid or whoever, you know what I'm saying? Like, it
Yeah.
doesn't, like, you don't get rewarded for losing games in college football. You lose recruits and you lose lots of other things, but you don't, like, hoping to lose out to prove some sort of point for engagement on social media or whatever is
Or
crazy.
be yeah, because you want to get rid of the coaching staff. Like that's why people would be
He's
rooting to
not
lose
getting
up.
fired.
Probably not.
Yeah, I
Probably
don't
not.
think.
And if the other idea behind losing all those games, you lose all those games. If you lose the last three games, or two, yeah, it would be three with the Clemson game and four with the Syracuse game.
Yeah.
You ruin the psyche of so many of these kids, and they're just gonna bounce. Like
Yeah.
if you lose out, like you'll lose half your roster. Like I don't think it's what you want. You want that. The idea that we're competing, like we've competed so close in all but one game. So like you still have that. You don't want to lose that because South Carolina lost a lot of games close, and this year they're having a nice year in year four. And so
Yeah.
like if you can hold this thing together and make a couple key changes, like there is hope.
Yeah. Also, I feel like, let's say, all right, we lose out. You get your wish. Not you, Pete, but the people that
Yeah,
we're
I understand.
speculating on. Pryor gets fired. Well, if Pryor gets fired, Witt's getting fired because
Yeah.
there's not, no AD makes three football hires because they had to fire the
All
previous. It
three.
just
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
work. So then, not only are you entering the portal with no coach and no AD, but then your players are going to leave because they get open season to just leave when a coach gets fired. Then another guy, they have to hire the AD. Then you got to hire a coach, and that'll be late in the cycle because all the cream of the crop dudes that you would want have already been picked up. And then you get somebody you probably didn't want, And he's going to come in and he's got to rebuild another roster. And then we're talking like 5 more years. So, like,
Well,
you really just, your best bet is for Brent Pry to work
to
out,
that,
frankly.
Dan, I will point to undefeated Indiana, who went
Yeah.
out last year, got a new coach, brought in a bunch of players in the portal. And now
Yes.
they're probably going to be in the college football playoff, barring a meltdown. And
Yeah.
so it's,
They got him early, though.
it can be done quickly. So I don't think that's the deterrent. The more of the deterrent is, are we sure with how close we've competed? Are we sure that he 100% isn't the guy? Because we got a lot of money tied up here. We still got
Right.
money tied up on Fuente, still paying that buyout. And so he's probably going to be back, ladies and gentlemen. So let's hope we can win some games, and let's
Yeah.
hope they have the foresight to do some things that will help us win more next year.
That many one score game losses is unacceptable, but that means that there's a fix in there that swings it the other way.
You would hope, right?
Yeah, it would at least you hope so. Yeah, like you said.
And Frank, it's not the same time period, it's not the same comparison, but
Not,
Frank
nope.
cleaned out his staff back in, was it 92?
Yeah.
We were in the tank that year. And he changed up everything. Now, coaches got a little bit more leeway, especially at Virginia Tech, because we weren't any kind of brand back then. But
Yeah.
he got more time, he got a chance to change things up, and the rest is history. And there are some similarities between Brent Pry's start here and Frank's start and things like
Yeah.
that. And I just, yes, that's comparing anything to Frank Beamer's thing is kind of blasphemous, but I'm just saying there are examples out there of a guy who makes a staff change. I think even Dabo, after his first year, fired half of his staff and restarted. It happens. And then all of a sudden, you get to some winning ways.
Yeah, hopefully we can find our Brent Venables and Tony Elliott.
Bud
But
Foster.
yeah. No, I'm not. Yeah, I don't know who gets changed or what changes are happening, but I do feel like they're coming in some capacity.
Yeah, I hope so, man. Well, listen, I'm gonna run because I got College Football Monday coming up after this. We're
Yeah,
on
big one
live
for you, brother.
at 8 p.m. Yeah, we're having a nice guest on, so people will probably hear this after that show starts. But if you do hear it after a start, tune in. Come over to see what we're doing on College Football on Monday. Ryan Nanny from the Shutdown Fullcast is going to be on the show. I'm pumped to talk to him.
Hell yeah, man. And Pete, man, I appreciate you coming on here and venting with me. It's therapeutic.
Yeah, we are at that point in the season where we all need a little therapy, probably. Got
That's
two
a
weeks
fact,
before
man.
we get to see Duke in prime
Yep.
time. Can you believe
Oh,
that?
can't wait. I'll be there, so it'll be fun.
Oh,
But
nice. I think all the boys are going down. I think like Pat, Billy, Sam, they're all going to be down there.
hell yeah. Well,
Hit them
man,
up.
as always, go Hokies.
All right, go Hokies, dude.